So we'll look at that.
Your relationship's on the line. Connect with Dr. Lori now, 514-790-0800. Passion, News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Tonight, alternative sexuality. We explore the different ways people express their passion for sex, which includes BDSM, bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, or kinky sex, if you will. We have Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com here, as well as Dane Stewart, who is an advocate, a director, and a playwright, and part of the kink community in Montreal. Welcome back, everybody.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
All right, so let's get right into it, because finding a kink partner may not be the easiest thing. I get questioned about that quite a bit, and or I get people, let me give you a couple of scenarios. So in the, just this last week, I saw two people. There was a female who came, who talked to me about her partner in the middle of sex, said, choke me, you know, wanted her to choke, wanted her to choke him. And she was completely thrown off by it. In fact, more than thrown off, she was turned off because she wanted to be, she did not see herself in that dominant role. But the reverse then happened to another client who said to me that she discovered this feeling of dominance later on. And what she did was she asked her partner, choke me. And he was like, oh, yeah, this is cool. Okay. And really, really enjoyed it. So what it was easy for her to transition into having a more kind of BDSM relationship. But what happens when you present it to somebody and they
go ooh?
They go ooh, yeah, they go ooh. Or you realize that you are who you are, that you are kinky and what have you, and you realize this, but you don't know how to find somebody who, or how to bring it up, or how to find somebody.
We'll start.
Well, I'll start.
Go ahead.
It's a lot easier now than when I was young,
pre-internet. Sure.
However,
yeah.
we always found a way.
Well, I want to know, but from somebody, because we're really represented
well, you know,
here
when
in
you
age,
start
right?
Flirting.
Okay.
Okay, you'd start flirting with somebody, and then you'd usually do like a spanking joke. And that's still how a lot of people, when it's face-to-face and it's not over the internet, you do little jokes and you just wait for the reaction.
Like what? What would be the...
Oh, gosh. That was... That guy, boy, he was ticking me off. I could have just put him over my knee. Ha, ha, ha.
Okay.
And
then the reaction
then you can
might
see
be...
and it's like, oh. Yeah, you can usually, if you, it's not necessarily what the person says. Check out that body language.
Okay.
You know. I mean, and of course I could get much more subtle and witty when I wasn't on the spot on the radio, but and I was young and actually flirting
back,
in flirt mode with somebody. But we used to do it that way. You know, used to.
But you could never be completely sure. Did you ever ask?
Well, I was the girl, so I got asked.
You got asked. So you got asked to be and kinky or
yeah,
you...
sure, but you just like laugh in the right places.
Okay.
You know, like you always did, always kind of flirted. And now it's, you have to be careful because it's not just what people wear, because people may be wearing collars now and cuffs.
For
and it
fun,
could be just
like,
a,
not, right.
a fashion accessory.
Right. In my day, I have to tell you, in my, you know, we're more or less the same generation, but
yeah.
There was a period of time when punk rock movement was really active, and I was actually kind of in the punky scene a little
she
bit.
She was a sexy punk.
So
girl.
I used to wear, you know, those cuffs that with the spikes and whatever. Mm-hmm. Like I'm thinking of that now. I'm thinking, oh my god, how could I? But I did back then. Short hair, and it was it had nothing to. I didn't even know what BDSM was back then. I had no clue.
But you can ask a couple of questions, and you can, you know, if you're a little bit direct, you know, you can you can kind of work around it. But nowadays, you don't really have to do that unless it's someone that you've already met in the office. And
oh, I cannot see having that conversation in the office.
Well,
just saying.
Well, that's true. I don't typically date anybody ever, right. But you know, there's still ways to kind of flirt with each other and bring it up gently. And now everybody knows what a safe word is. There's always, you know, there's one of the commercials on TV right now is Homer Simpson talking about a safe word.
Oh, is it? Okay,
yeah.
I haven't seen it.
And it like stuff like that. So there's enough everyday examples.
Right.
That you can kind of throw it in there. And people are fairly open. But, you know, if you can't talk about it, you shouldn't be doing it.
That's true about sex in general, but that's not what actually happens. But okay.
That's true.
I'd like to hear from our listeners, actually. 514-800. If you consider yourself a little kinky or a lot kinky, how did you introduce it into your relationship? Or were you, in dating, were you looking for someone who was like-minded, who wanted the same things, liked the same things, just to be sure? And how did you do it? I'm very curious as to how people make those connections. Dane, what about for you? How did it work?
For me, I would say the internet is both your best friend and your greatest enemy.
Okay.
I mean, I grew up in the age of the internet, so I always had access to information. I was always able to Google anything that I was interested in learning about. So it was really easy to find people who shared common interests, to find other people who also identified as subs like I do, or who identified as DOMs, and really get chatting with these people and find out what, you know, really got me going in a good way. And I think that's a really positive thing, to have access to those sort of connections.
Sure, right.
But of course, there's the other side of the coin as well.
Which
is that you're encountering these people online anonymously. There can be some safety issues, you know, in meeting up with people online, especially people with, I would say, varying levels of experience in the kinky
practices. So you wouldn't really know what their experience is.
Exactly.
Right?
And online, in a chat room, when you're sexting, anything like that, you can get as kinky as you want, and there aren't really any consequences to that.
Right.
You can play out your biggest fantasy, your darkest fantasy, but the minute that you get into someone's bedroom and you're playing that fantasy out with them, if you don't have the experience and that person doesn't have the experience doing that, and you've only ever played that out online. I mean, that when I was first getting involved in the community, I made the mistake of conflating my fantasy with what I could actually handle on my body, and it produced some really negative experiences.
Okay.
So I would say for people who, you know, are listening, who might be getting involved via the internet, you know, messaging people on there, that you should be aware there there is a big difference between what you fantasize about in your head and what you're actually ready to take on.
That's a good point. That's the voice of Dane Stewart, who is part of our BDSM Alternative Sexuality panel. He's an advocate and director and playwright. We also have Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle. Pierre, what's your best advice on finding a partner?
Well, the internet is always great, and I think Dane is absolutely right of having to be careful. The problem now that we're seeing is a lot of people are going to mix their fantasy with real life and not realizing that sometimes you cannot accomplish what your fantasy is. And there's, of course, a safety issue. There's two, you can't hurt somebody physically or mentally if you're careless. And
right.
This is some of the thing that we have to deal the most with our website. We receive email from people that they start a relationship and domination. And at some point, they don't know how to handle that relationship. Either that their partner wants more or more intense and they're afraid to give it, or at some point they just lose control and somebody is hurting and they don't know how to handle this. And this is a problem. You have to negotiate. You know how many times we've been saying this on the air.
Right.
You have to negotiate, but you have to plan in the future too of where you want to go with this, what you want to do. When you do a scene, you always need a plan B. Let's say you're doing a spanking and your partner is not into that mind that night. Well, you cannot just stop and say, okay, go home. You know, mm-hmm. you have to be able to change something. So it's the same for that.
That says to me that meeting somebody online for a one-time thing in this world, in the BDSM world, is very risky because you're talking about needing to negotiate, compromise, talk, like make sure the person's not going to hurt you, kill you, whatever, right?
Well, and there are ways to mitigate that risk, right? Like when I'm I will very rarely meet up with somebody that I've met and I've only chatted with on an app for a hookup and just meet them in their own private space. For me, I really like to, you know, meet somebody one-on-one and have a negotiation in person, usually at a bar or
a
public place where we're not within that sexual context, where our brains and our genital regions aren't making
they're not the deciding things, right?
Where we can actually have a conversation about, like, what are your experiences? What are your limits? What are you interested in trying? And really set out some parameters through negotiation for the boundaries of
that. You know, we're talking mostly about kink tonight and alternative sexuality, but really what you're saying applies to all forms of sexuality. It applies to the whole discussions we can have about consent. It applies for every couple who wants to try something new, whether it's alternative, kinky, or anything else.
Vanilla, you just a new partner or, you know, for your life. But the people take a lot of risk, I found today. And with the internet, you can get so much information. But it seems that a lot of people, and not just young adult, older people, take risk.
I've actually heard of older people taking more risk because they're not as aware. The younger people might be a bit more savvy in terms of what the catfishers are out looking for or what have you, and whereas older people might get sucked in maybe a little easier. I don't know.
For instance, a few years ago, we used a technique called a safe call. I discovered that younger adults don't use this anymore. A safe call is, as a woman, let's say you go with a new man, mm-hmm. and you're going to call one of your friends, maybe with a sentence, a special sentence that says, if I tell you this, call the cop, you know?
Oh, wow. So that's a real...
Or if I tell you this, everything is fine. Don't expect me tonight, you know?
Well, we kind of do that in the dating world, like you're my emergency call kind of thing. Well, we're talking kink tonight, alternative sexuality. Have you ever brought up something to your partner that was... a little alternative, a little different than your normal sexual, your usual sexual activity. And what was their reaction? Did they react badly? We'll talk about that after the news here on Passion.
The following program contains mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
From the pleasure to the pain and everything in between, Passion with Dr. Lori. News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Have you ever been interested in exploring a little bit of kink, especially maybe after you saw 50 Shades of Grey or some other media, something, and that kind of triggered in you a thought, maybe we could explore something together. The reality is the research shows that in Quebec, over 45% of people apparently are interested, at least interested, in trying something that is that we would consider kinky or outside of the vanilla sex, which would be, I don't know, what do we consider vanilla sex? Just missionary sex?
The penis in the vagina.
The penis in the vagina. Maybe that works for the gay world. Yeah. Oral sex, like that, your regular foreplay and kind of regular sex, which is fine for people who love that and that works for them. That's good. But for many others, they need or they want or they're looking for variety, adventure, something maybe out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
Right?
You know what? You brought up 50 Shades of Grey, and that's... That actually, as much as I'm not a huge fan of the movie, is a good way to kind of foray into the conversation.
Yes.
But there's other movies too. Secretary, what is it, 9 and a half weeks?
Yeah.
There's a few other that are still kind of pretty kinky movies that, you know, you can bring up in conversation. It's one of the ways to pull it in.
Or watch it together and see.
And it's a good thing. You know, did you find that exciting? I kind of found that, I don't know why, that kind of excited me. And, you know, then start the conversation. It's a good non-threatening way to do it. If you see something on TV, you know, and you see, I know, Nine Inch Heels or whatever, and you have a thing for shoes and you'd like to have, those are just beautiful. Would you wear a pair of those for me? You know, mm-hmm. there's lots of ways to say it that aren't as threatening as, you know, bringing home the shoes. Here, honey, wear this. It'll turn me on.
Or here's a paddle. Let me spank you.
Exactly. So, you know, the big thing is if you're going to broach the subject with somebody, you start off soft.
So I was I was watching Ozark is back on the second season, and I started rewatching the first season because I wanted to make sure I was all caught up. And there was a scene in there where he is having sex with his wife from the back, and he starts to spank her. And he's in 15 years or 18 years of marriage and had never done that. Of course, I don't want to spoil alert for people who haven't seen it. I don't really want to give away all that stuff, but it was like, why did you do that? Why would you think I like that? Like what? It was very accusatory and very, yeah. So it would be to me that says, well, you better talk about what you're going to do before you actually do it. Like you wouldn't want to start choking your partner or pulling your partner's hair. If your partner is going to react with, what the heck are you doing? Like, get off me, you know, or gets freaked out, or you don't know what people have been through and you don't know what triggers are for people. So it's so important to have that discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree that, I mean, I think it brings up an interesting question of as to whether this conversation should be brought up beforehand or whether it's appropriate to bring this broach this conversation during sex. And I think for sure it's definitely more productive. It probably is going to lean towards consent more if you're able to have this conversation with your partner beforehand.
Yes.
And say, you know, I don't know. You could, like
well,
you said,
in
you
the
can...
middle of it, nobody's in a great negotiating mood.
Yeah.
Well, you don't negotiate in the middle of it.
Exactly.
No.
So if you're already kind of like, you know, getting hot and heavy, that's not the time to bring it up.
I think there are ways to, you know, explore some impulses during sex, especially if you are the, let's say you're the passive person who wants to have maybe a more forceful action mm-hmm. Practiced upon you. So you want your partner to choke you during sex. You could say, you know, I would find it really hot if you choked me right now. Would you be willing to?
Like, right.
Phrase it more in that way where you're, you know, you're giving your partner the option.
Right.
As opposed to, like, forcing them into it.
Right.
So you said, you mentioned you had two people this week who
right. different,
said, choke
different,
me in,
right.
in the middle
who
of
just
sex.
Said, choke me, and one freaked one person out, and the other person was like, sure, okay, this is fun.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people are uncomfortable, you know, having that conversation beforehand. I do think it's better to have a conversation beforehand.
I agree.
At least this way you're at least asking it in a question. You're still leaving consent on the table as their partner's free to define the boundaries.
514-800, tonight's all about alternative sexuality. What have you explored? Any kinks you've wanted to explore, introduced to a partner? And what was their reaction? Were they on board? Was it a reaction you did not expect? Did it kind of freak out your partner? I've seen it happen on both sides. So I know that both reactions are certainly possible. This texter writes, me and my wife got a dildo about the same size of my penis and explored all sorts of stuff like this says D-ped and butt and vagina same time. What's D-ped? Is that, I don't know if that's a
double
typo.
Double
penetration?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
So with, I suppose, through anal intercourse and vaginal intercourse, one with the penis, one
with the
dildo.
And
right.
With the penis in the vagina.
Both mm-hmm. at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh.
Could be.
Oh, is that? Okay. There you
that
go.
That could also
so that may be what they're describing.
But it's one of the ways of double penetration.
Right. Yeah. Probably something you've seen in porn. But okay, this is something that looks together, like it's a couple decided to explore it together, clearly went together to find the dildo or buy the dildo, and obviously had to have a conversation about this,
and
because you need preparation, right?
That can be part of the foreplay.
Right.
Yeah. The negotiation, if it's done right, can be part of the foreplay, part of the excitement.
Right.
Part of the, oh my God, we're going to get that one right there. Right. What color should we get?
Right.
You know.
Or we're going to do this later. Wow, this is so exciting.
Yeah.
So the build up too.
Absolutely.
Well, and it brings up a good opportunity to also check in with your partner if you're going to say, I would be interested in exploring being spanked in bed or being choked in bed. Is there anything that you, like, is there anything that you'd like to try that we haven't tried before? And,
exactly.
And make it a bit more of a conversation.
Right. So this text writes, my husband has been bringing up doing it in my butt. I just say no and move on. Well, you're perfectly entitled to say no. That's not for you. But maybe have a bigger conversation together outside of the bedroom, where you can talk about, well, what is it about anal play? Maybe you can just do anal play, not anal sex, like anal intercourse. And that might be something. Or ask your partner if your partner would like that. Maybe he's really saying he wants some anal play. So having the conversation and finding out what it is your partner likes or doesn't like, and maybe they have good reasons. Maybe for them in their mind, like, no, that's an exit only and no entry, and that's just my cutoff, right? That's my no-go zone. That's okay. You can have a very fixed no-go zone, or you could be, well, maybe one day if the conditions are right or whatever, but you need to have that negotiation. You need to talk about it. I'm just wondering about your husband keeps bringing it up after you keep saying no, no, no. That worries me a bit when a partner starts to pressure the other one.
Yeah.
So to me, that requires a deeper conversation, I think.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, you've brought up before on this program as well the option for certain partners who, you know, a person has this kinky impulse, they really want to explore it, and it's really, really, really important to them. Is this the defining or the deciding factor in this relationship? There are other options there as well. Like, you can open up your relationship if your partner really needs to do anal, and you're willing to let them maybe do it with somebody else, then that's a way for them to get there.
That's a big compromise, right? For some people, it
for
can
some
be
people,
a huge
but,
compromise.
For others, it's a... I know a lot of people in the young gay kinky mm-hmm. world who have a partner who's not that kinky, but will, you know, let their partner go to a weekend event where they get to go crazy for
or
a
with
weekend.
Rules,
yeah. Right? So it's rule. Like, you get a hall pass, but here are the rules
exactly.
that go with it. Right.
Make sure you talk it out and just go, well, okay.
Do you find that most? Maybe this is, I don't know if you can answer this really, but that most relationships that involve kink or BDSM are people who find themselves more in open relationships? Is it more frequent to have open relationships in this
no,
community?
No, because if you look at the swingers, they have something similar. Regular people often have open relationship. It's not, and often, very often in kink situation, they have one partner, period.
Okay, so they're monogamous.
They're monogamous,
yeah.
Okay. I think the majority of BDSMers or people who practice BDSM are monogamous. However, I think if you're in an open relationship, you're more likely to be kinky.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because I think you're already...
You're already more adventurous.
You're already more adventurous. You're already, you know, negotiating more. You're already a little bit more comfortable with your sexuality.
Right. How adventurous are you? Are you willing to share with us things that you have wanted to try, have tried, introduce to your partner? Maybe your partner didn't react so well. How did you cope with it? I'm sure everybody has wanted to try something a little different. If you want to share, it's anonymous. You can do that right here.
Straight talk that's all inclusive. Passion with Dr. Lori. News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Our BDSM panel tonight, or alternative sexuality, I think most people could relate to some level of kinky behavior simply because today when we talk about kink, it's really mainstream. It isn't what it was 30 years ago when we used to talk about somebody being kinky. It was somebody who was really much more marginalized or Now people wear their kink on their sleeve. Like, you've just, you know, it's like it shows, it's there. Very, very different times for expressing your sexuality at a time when much less shame, much more acceptance, maybe much more education, much more understanding, much greater reach. People feel much less alone because of the internet. 30 years ago, when I started practicing pre-internet, people would come in quite distressed by their kinks, in fact.
Thinking they were the only ones.
Thinking they were the only ones, yeah. And that has changed dramatically. I see Dane, who grew up in this internet age, and you had an interest, you Googled it, and that's it. You found your community, 1, 2, 3. Lickety split. Like, this did not happen back then. So very interesting. We were talking also about, and I think you wanted to come back to something, Catherine, we were talking about the openness of relationships. That I was asking, are people who are into kink or BDSM more likely to find themselves in open relationships?
Yeah, and when I was saying that, because I kind of said something I need to qualify, when I said that people in open relationships tend to be more comfortable with their sexuality. I'm not saying that if you're not into an open relationship, you're not comfortable.
Right.
However, you know, you had to have more self-awareness, more negotiation with your partner. You have to be able to frankly speak about subjects, especially the ones that are bothering you or that you're feeling kind of hinky or shy about. Those are the ones you have to talk to and negotiate before you're in the bedroom.
Right.
The hard stuff.
Right.
You know.
And Dane, do you think there's a difference in the gay community and the straight community when it comes to kink and open relationships and such?
I'm inclined to say yes. I think I see a lot of open relationships, multiple partners, polyamory in the gay kink world, at least in the circles in which I move.
Mm-hmm.
I think as, you know, people who identify along the LGBTQ acronym, we go through a process of shame, of overcoming shame in our lives in order to become at peace with our identities. And as well, I think all of us in society are sort of brought up with this idea of what normal love is or what normativity is, mm-hmm. in terms of love. You know, the man falls in love with a woman, they get married, they have a couple children, they grow old together, they have a couple grandkids. For gays, you know, that dream gets cut off for a lot of us, you know,
right.
Age 14, age 15, you know, that's no longer an option. So we have a bit more freedom to explore, you know, other imaginings or other iterations of what love can look like and what partnerships can look like.
Right. I think you were saying something about, I forget. I forget, you forget. See what happens when you go past 50? You just forget what we're talking about. 514-800, how does a partner respond? What do you do when you bring something up, but it really turns off your partner, which I could see happening. If you suggest a fantasy that you are thinking, and that's for anything. Forget, it doesn't have to be that kinky. I mean, do we even look at threesomes as kinky anymore? Anything like that. But a partner who says, oh, I'd really, that's my fantasy and I'd really like to try that. Well, you know, what do you think? And someone might be like, you want to do that? Like,
you're kidding.
You're right. Ew. And then something happens. Like, then you start to question a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And I think that boils right down to, you have to be open. You have to put yourself out there and you have to be vulnerable. But you know what? Don't go for the big prize right off.
Okay.
You know, if you've got a specific kink, you know, you start with the, oh, those high heels are sexy, would you wear some for me? As opposed to, I want you in thigh-high patent leather boots with a ballet,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
And I think you're more likely to get a positive response if you kind of let your partner explore. And at the same time, as I think it was Dana said, you know, this is a great opportunity to find what their fantasies are too. And, you know, it's a good time to do some give and take.
But if your fantasy is a little more extreme,
mm-hmm.
bring it slowly. Start, like Catherine was saying, start slow. We've seen people saying, okay, for instance, the boot situation. Well, I want tie-high boots for myself, mm-hmm. you know? So it's, and I want to wear them when we're making love. And it's, and some women would just go, no.
Oh, if a guy says that.
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah, right, sure. Right. Yes, you have to tread, I think, in a
tread.
Tread, yeah. Well, yeah, you've got to test the waters a
yes,
little
exactly.
bit. You can't just, and I do think that it has, people who bring up a fetish. So this, we're just talking little kinks, but there are fetishes that might be, hard to understand. For example, a man who has a fetish for adult, like an adult baby or wearing diapers, will not find it so easy to bring it up to a partner who might be really icked out by it, like just turned off by it. You know what I'm saying?
If you have an advanced or developed fetish, really, you shouldn't be dating people who don't have the same fetish. Go on the sites, go on the internet. There's no excuse now. You can find anything. And you can find partners who are interested in anything.
Ideally, Catherine.
And then, well, true, but what we've seen over years in the community is we've seen people who, you know, I'm a sub, I'm a dom, but I really like this partner and I'm going to leave the community. And they usually end up fooling around on the person.
Mm.
Or they end up leaving that person after a few years.
Right.
Because if it is a real deep-seated need, it's like, you know,
but
it's kind of if you're gay.
And hiding that, right?
And you're not doing, you know what? If that's what you are, that's what you are. And if you're a gay guy, don't be dating a woman then.
I hear you, but I know that a lot of people who have certain fetishes, who feel a certain level of shame or they don't understand it themselves, keep it hidden, keep it secret, will do a lot of things on the down low, for example, transvestites or people who like to wear diapers or, mm-hmm. or adults who like to wear diapers. All of those things are often kept very secret and then sometimes they get bold one day and say, well, I'm going to bring it up. Or what happens if I, you know, bring it up? And that's where the crap can hit the fan at that point in a relationship. It can destabilize a relationship quite a lot.
Sure. I mean, if you've been married to somebody for 20 years and they suddenly bring up that they want to be in diapers.
Or that they've been doing it all this time.
Well, exactly. The first thing you think is like, what? You didn't like all of the times we made love?
Right.
I mean, was that what you're thinking about every time? So there's almost a betrayal if you're not careful there.
Right. Because you feel like you know your partner so well that you've been with that you would think that they would be vulnerable with you. And if this is such an important part of who they are and they have not shared it with you, you wonder, gee, either what else have you not shared, or I don't really know you, or I feel like I
don't
know
you.
They
don't know you, do they?
You feel betrayed.
Well, not fully, anyway. Absolutely.
I mean, I think you have to, if you're going to be bringing up one of the big, like a bigger fetish like this, you have to, A, give your partner time to figure it out, figure out if they're actually interested in it, and then B, know where you're at in terms of whether or not this and exploring this and expressing this fetish is a make or break situation for you. You know, if you can't be, if you feel like you absolutely have to, you know, wear diapers to be satisfied in your sexual identity, then know that going into this conversation and realize that if your partner is not on board with that, then either this partnership isn't going to work or you're going to have to find a way, you know, maybe to open it up or do something.
Well, if your partner wants that.
Or to abstain.
To abstain? I've spoken to several people with that particular fetish who have not been able to engage in it in their relationships because their partners, I mean, it was just too difficult for them and they didn't understand it. So that's, and those are for particular fetishes or particular kinks, if you will.
But that's the nature of any relationship, right? Any relationship is a negotiation of figuring out what you're willing to do for your partner and what your partner's willing to give up.
Negotiating and compromising. That's what relationships are all about.
Successful ones.
Well, healthy ones, yes. Thank you so much for being here. Very much appreciated.
Thank you.
Pierre and Catherine can be found at bdsmcircle.com. Dane, where can people find you?
You can find my queer arts production at talkingdogproductions.ca.
Wonderful. And congratulations on that play, by the way. I don't think we've spoken on air since then, but it was fabulous.
Thank you.
Yeah. I want to say goodnight to all of you. That's it for us. I want to thank you for listening and spending your hour with us. I know sometimes our topics may not be relatable to everybody, but everybody can learn something from every show, because there's all kinds of people that make up this wonderful world we live in. Thank you to our technical producer, Dave Simon. If you want to connect with me on social media, at Dr. Lori Batito, or my website, drlori.com. Coming up next on CJD, the CTV National News. Have a great rest of the evening, and remember to live your life with passion.